Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
20 years ago, in the United States of America, a man took a lady friend on a picnic. On the way, he stopped at a fast food place to buy something for lunch. The man was given a bucket with a lid on it, which he placed in the back of his car before driving off. When the man and the lady arrived at the picnic ground, they set out the drinks and the bucket of food. When he pulled the lid off the bucket, he got a big surprise. Instead of a cooked chicken, he stared at bags and bags of money. The couple packed up straight away and returned to the store. Meanwhile, the manager of the store had been frantically searching for the lost money that needed to be banked that day. When the man arrived and returned all the money to the manager, she was very relieved. The manager wanted to say thank you for the man's honesty by putting a picture of the man and his lady in the newspaper. But in response, the man told her in an undertone that he did not want any public recognition at all. The lady with him was actually another man's wife. This man had honesty, but no integrity. King David had been very successful in battles with the enemy tribes around about Israel. God had enabled David to conquer them. Then they had to pay David tribute each year. In the Bible book of 2 Samuel, chapters 8 and 9, there are listed the many battles that were fought by the Israelite army. In today's Bible adventure story, we learn that instead of going to battle with the Ammonites, David stayed back in Jerusalem and sent his commanding officer Joab to take charge instead. This was one of the biggest mistakes of David's life. Today, our hero David showed that he did not always obey God's laws, and by not doing so, he destroyed his own integrity.
Anything I can do, Master?
No, no. I'm just restless. It's so warm inside. It's cooler up here on the roof. You may go. I'll be all right.
Yes, Master. Good evening, Master.
Just a minute.
Yes, Master.
Over there on that rooftop. Look at that beautiful woman. Who is she?
I know not, Master.
We'll go find out. Quickly.
Yes, Master. Master.
Yes. Who is she?
Her name, Master, is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite.
She's already married. And to Uriah, one of my best and most gallant and faithful officers. Oh, well, I want you to go over there to her home and ask her to come here as soon as she can. Tell her that the king demands an audience with her.
Yes, Master.
David had been successful in his battles and popular with his people. This honor and adulation were not without effect upon David. He began to feel that he was the important one. He forgot that he had been successful because he had followed God's leading. When the beauty of Bathsheba attracted David, he determined that he would have her, even if he must trample God's precepts in order to obtain his own selfish and lustful desires.
Send a messenger to the battlefront and ask General Joab to send Uriah here to me immediately.
Uriah, the king sends for you. You will leave immediately.
What does the king want of me?
How would I know? Just do as he commands.
Long live the king!
Greetings, Uriah. How is General Joab and his officers and men? The battle, how is it?
Oh, very fine, your majesty. To all the questions. The war goes especially well. General Joab expects the Ammonites to surrender any day now.
And you, Uriah, how are you?
Oh, tired, your majesty, and weary of the war, like all the other soldiers. But otherwise I'm fine, sir.
You're one of my finest and most loyal officers. I thought I'd give you a rest from the war. So go to your home, Uriah, and rest. I'm sure you'll be glad to see your wife again, and she you.
His majesty is very thoughtful.
Now give your wife her king's greetings and blessing. You may go now, Uriah.
Long live the king! Long live the king! Long live the king.
Good morning, Uriah. Did you sleep well?
Oh, yes, sir, and thank you, sir.
They tell me you did not go home as I bade you, but slept with the servants.
No, king. The Ark of God and the people of Israel dwell in tents. Joab and his men sleep in open fields. Why then should I go to the comforts of my home? Nay, your majesty, I cannot.
Well, remain here for a few more days, Uriah, and rest. Then will I let you return to the battlefield. Scribe, one of my officers named Uriah is here in Jerusalem, awaiting my permission to return to the battlefield. Find him, will you, and bring him before me. More wine, Uriah?
Yes. Yes, I could use another drink.
Now, will you go home and see your wife and rest?
No, no, your majesty. As long as my friends are fighting a war, I will not go home. They can't, neither shall I.
You may return to the battlefield now, Uriah. When you go, will you take this letter I've written to General Joab?
General, sir, here's a letter for you from the king.
Thank you, Uriah. Joab, greetings. I want you to place the bearer of this letter, Uriah by name, in the hottest part of the battle. Then get you away from him, that he may be smitten by the Ammonites and die. I wonder why all this fuss about Uriah. Uriah, come hither, please.
Yes, sir.
The king highly commends you for faithfulness and loyalty. I need a brave, courageous man right now at the walls of Rabbah. Go there immediately and take charge of the fighting.
Yes, sir.
David, who at one time would not even harm the wicked king Saul because he was the Lord's anointed, had so forgotten God that he now desired to take the life of an innocent, upright man in order to satisfy his selfish desires.
A little harder with that battering ram, men! Down with the walls of Rabbah! Harder, men, and we...
Sir, you're hit. I'll carry you back to the rear.
No. I'm dying, so pay no attention to me. Just get those walls down. Harder with that ram. Harder.
And so, Your Majesty, General Joab wants you to know that the faithful Uriah fell and died heroically.
Take word to Joab that he's not to worry about it. War devours one as well as another. Tell him to fight a little harder and overthrow Rabbah.
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
Scribe, as soon as her time of mourning is past, send for the wife of Uriah. I would converse with her.
God's plan for human beings, established in the Garden of Eden, was for one man to be married to one woman. A husband and wife are to be faithful to each other for life. This pattern was established again when the only survivors of Noah's worldwide flood were four men, each married to his one wife. There are many passages of scripture that show great unhappiness in families where the man has had more than one wife. Abraham, Jacob, and Samuel's father were all examples of this. After the Jews had returned from exile in Babylon around 450 BC, the Jews always had just one wife, and by the time of Christ, even the Greeks and Romans had adopted this one-man-one-woman principle too. Although King Saul and Nabal had one wife each, King David had a large number of wives. This was contrary to God's rule in Deuteronomy chapter 17. David had no excuse to be away from battle by himself. If he had been attending to his role as a father, including teaching and training his children, he would have been too busy to be lazing around on the rooftop looking down at another man's wife. Temptation often comes when we're not productively doing something. There's an old English expression, idle fingers get into mischief. So if your circumstances find you with a lot of spare time, ask the Lord for some God-honoring work to do to fill up your hours. For elderly people, this might be a committed life of prayer. David had so lost sight of God's commandments that he didn't worry when he discovered Bathsheba was the wife of one of his most faithful soldiers. In the Bible book of Exodus, chapter 20, the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses say, "Do not commit adultery. Do not desire another man's house. Do not desire his wife." Because David was king, he'd grown to think that he was the most important person there was and could have anything he wanted. When David took Bathsheba to his bed and had sexual relations with her, he committed adultery with her. He had no right as king or otherwise to have her in his bed. Bathsheba belonged to Uriah. God hates the breakdown of marriage. In Malachi chapter 2, the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce, marital separation and violence against wives. Each husband should be faithful to his wife and she to him. Soon after Bathsheba's visit to the palace, she discovered she was pregnant with David's child. When David knew this, he resorted to the same tactic that Adam and Eve had done in the Garden of Eden. He tried to cover up his sin. He sent for Bathsheba's husband Uriah from the battlefield and ordered him to go home to his wife. But David's command was contrary to Uriah's duties as a soldier when engaged in battle. Uriah did not go home. David then got Uriah drunk with wine and tried to send him home again. But Uriah would not violate his soldier's duties. So as a last resort, David sent instructions to Joab for Uriah to be killed in the battle. David's conscience had become so hardened that he didn't find the news of Uriah's death to be upsetting. David had achieved his goal, and now he could legally take Bathsheba as another of his wives. Of course, God saw all this. In Psalm 44, it says that God knows all our secret thoughts. Also mentioned in Psalm 94, wicked people were doing terrible things, but they said, "The Lord doesn't see us." But the psalmist responds with this, "When will you ever learn? God made our ears, can't he hear? He made our eyes, can't he see?" God will punish the wickedness, and David can expect to be punished too. David's sin is recorded in the Bible as a warning to every reader. What is our conscience? Human beings have a sense of right and wrong with regard to thoughts and actions. Have you ever done something wrong and felt very guilty about it afterwards? That's your conscience working and speaking to you. If you love the Lord Jesus, confess the wrongdoing immediately to clear your conscience. Sometimes, however, this may involve putting things right with someone else first. We can also reject what our conscience is telling us to do. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in the Bible book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, "Keep your faith and a good conscience. Some people have not listened to their conscience and have made a ruin of their faith." King David had ceased to listen to his conscience, or he would not have had anything to do with another man's wife. It's also possible to destroy our consciences completely. When the Apostle Paul was speaking about false teachers in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he spoke of the false teachers having dead consciences, as if they had been burnt with a hot iron. Before yielding to any temptation, we need to look back and recall God's goodness to us. Looking ahead, we need to remember the price of sin. Looking around, think of all the people who may be affected by what we do. Then looking up, ask God for the strength to say no to the temptations as they come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 it says, "God keeps his promise and will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide you with a way out." God wants us to live to please him every day and in every way. God is able. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is